And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Detroit News, Detroit Tigers podcast. Opening day is hours away. Home opener for the Tigers in Chicago on Thursday, then back home for the Tigers opening day at Comerica Park on April 5th. I'm Tony Paul with the Detroit News, joined as always by Chris McCoskey, the Tigers beat writer for the Detroit News, who is back in Michigan for a matter of hours before heading off to Chicago. Chris, how are you?
I'm okay, man. No rest for the wicked.
How do you pack for 2 months in Lakeland? That's the biggest question I have.
I've gotten pretty smart about that. We are blessed with having a washer and dryer in our unit.
Perfect.
So I pack very lightly and I wear a lot of t-shirts, shorts, and jeans. I'm not a complicated man, Tony.
Perfect. Never accused you of being such, but good to know. Good to
No, sir.
know. All right. Here we are. I mean, we're just hours away. Tigers opening up in Chicago. Let's just get started with the roster as a whole. There's been some activity even this morning. We're recording this on Tuesday, March 26th. Take us through the last minute decisions that AJ Hinch and Scott Harris made.
Yeah, it just came down like minutes before we started chatting here, and a bit of a surprise to me that Bo Brisky was optioned back to AAA. So he and Alex Fajardo and Joey Wentz will be the last two relievers in the bullpen. Wentz was out of options. That was a tricky call. He's pitched well in this bullpen role. He's fixed his fastball. His fastball is not. He's changed his arm slot. It's a much more effective pitch for him, and that's made a big difference for him. I know there's a lot of animosity toward Joey because of how much he struggled last year, but he's in a different role and he's a different pitcher. That didn't surprise me. It was a tough call though because Brisky pitched very well. Alex Fido might have thrown better than anybody in camp. He was lights out and he fits like a one-time through the order bridge role as well as any with his stuff now that he's got a really good changeup that doesn't rip apart his fingertips now. So he's an effective guy in that role. That doesn't surprise me. But Brisky pitched very, very well, and he's got a lot of stuff. He can pitch in a lot of different roles. It'd be interesting to see what they do with him in Toledo, Tony. I don't know if they're gonna put him in the rotation, stretch him out, and make him an option there, or keep him. Kind of doesn't make sense for him to stay in like a short reliever role because they got to keep them stretched out to a certain degree. So that'll be interesting to see. And that comes on the heels of probably the biggest surprise
Right.
is that Matt Manning was cut out of the rotation. He was the odd man out in that battle. And he pitched well too. But the more AJ explained it, the more it made sense because Manning is he's refashioned his arsenal, right? He's a different pitcher now with different stuff. And he needs time to learn how to sequence that and use that and get completely consistent with it. So that when the more that was explained to me, the more I understood it. And it's been hard to take the ball away from Reese Olson as well. He pitched great. He ended up having to pitch through a lot of teams' A lineups because he was the guy traveling. So he
Right.
got a his wasn't a false test this spring. So that's pretty much the roster now. Miguel Diaz will probably get DFA'd. He's out of options too. And Sawyer Gibson Long will be put on the IL. So that's 26 players and heading north.
Yeah, Matt Manning, obviously the big one that kind of opened my eyes a little bit. I'll be honest, I haven't paid attention to every little thing that's gone on in spring training, but to see him go to Toledo was eye-opening. But we've talked about this before, that there's two types of camps. When you're struggling to fill the roster, or when you're struggling to get everyone you want on the roster, and that's a much better problem to have. And when you see the Tigers have to make tough cuts like this, that seems better,
Yeah, sucks for the player, good for the team.
right? Absolutely. You can check out Chris's report on the roster at DetroitNews.com. Check out all his coverage at DetroitNews.com. The roster is an interesting one, and we've talked about this because this has been kind of the way they've gone with AJ Hinch with Scott Harris, is the value of I guess the value of utility. Take us through that a little bit, and what's the philosophy there?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's done out of necessity. If he's got all stars at every position like he had in Houston, we're not talking about this. You
Right.
know what I mean? But we don't have that in this stage of this team's construction. So Harris has put together a team of versatile players, players that are built to fit the way AJ manages his team in terms of exploiting, finding, ex creating, finding, and exploring, exploiting matchups. all through the game, not just late innings when you need a pinch hitter, righty on lefty. It's not about just that. It's about, like, he knows Andy Ibañez better than anybody how to use him. He knows what style of pitcher he's going to rake, right-handed or left-handed. So he's going to seek that matchup, even if it's in the fourth inning, tie game. And he's got the optionality around the diamond to move guys around. And most important part of all of that is players have to buy in. These guys, Ibañez is a year-to-year guy. McKinstry is a year-to-year guy. Gio Urshela is on a one-year, $1.5 million contract, and you're asking these guys essentially to be part-time players. But he doesn't frame it that way. Utility is not negative. Versatility is not negative. It's impactful, and it's playing to their strengths. So the way he's gotten the buy-in has been incredible because it's universal. I've gone around this. I've been looking for signs that maybe guys would push back this year, and it's just not there. If anybody was going to push back, it was going to be Matt Vierling, because he basically worked all offseason to play a lot of third base. And then a week into camp, Gio Urshela gets signed, and he's back, doing his outfield thing and mixing and matching here and there, infield and outfield. And he's totally bought in. It's like, this is what I do. This is my strength. Hinch talks about guys. He talks to the guys about being ingredients. What ingredient do you bring to this team to help us win? And he's able to extricate that from these guys and value it and use it to win games. And it's pretty amazing. He tells the story, Tony. Guys complain about, moving to the outfield. Like, I haven't played outfield in 10 years, but you moved me to the outfield. He goes, well, okay, let me tell you about Marwin Gonzalez, who was an infielder, and he put him in the outfield for the World Series, started 7 games in the outfield in the World Series. Now, if you're Marwin, would you rather have me not done that and you sat on the bench behind Altuve, Correa, and Bregman for 7 games? Or did you want to be in the outfield and helping us win, the series? So that's the argument, man. Like, do you want to be on a winning team? You want to impact, and you're going to play every day. That's the other thing. There's no bench warmers. Nobody on this team is going to be a bench warmer. They're all going to play almost every day. So he's kind of redefined the term everyday player. You don't have to start to be an everyday player.
Well, you caught up to AJ and you talked to him about the buy-in that he's gotten from the players. And let's listen to what he had to say about that.
You've been in situations where there's been pushback from players. He's like, well, the guys who push back aren't usually here. Like,
yeah.
They're not usually here by a week or two into the season.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's how the team is built. It's not necessarily the way the team is always going to be built. But as I've told Matt and I've told others, like, I've had experience where I've taken an infielder and I put him in the outfield, and he started all 7 games of the World Series in the outfield. So if you wanted to be an infielder only, as Marvin Gonzalez, if you want to be an infield only, you would have sat behind Bregman, Altuve, and Correa, and you could have sat on the bench during those 7 games of the World Series. So which way do you want it? Do you want to play, and this is the best way to contribute, or do you want to be, put in a position to have one decision? Secondly, from a value standpoint, as a player, and all these players want to maximize their years, they want to maximize their earnings, they want to maximize their impact within the game. Do you want multiple ways to take a bite out of that apple, or do you want one? And the answer is always going to be multiple for the majority of players in the big leagues.
Well, it sounds like a positive vibe coming out of camp. I mean, it usually does, but with this team and the buy-in, it seems like it's there.
You know what's interesting? AJ's been able to build a positive winning culture, on this team before actually winning any real game, meaningful games on the field. And that's a testament, man. That's a testament to his leadership and the fact that he can see, like, he can live for today but still see the bigger picture. And guys are on board with it.
Well, let's talk about then with opening day just a couple of days away in Chicago. Let's talk about what are reasonable expectations for this team. Look, it's been a decade since they've made the playoffs, decade since they won the American League Central. They had that great run, obviously, and it's been a long process to get back to the point where fans believe this team can at least make some noise. What's reasonable?
What's reasonable is to stay in the fight for the Central Division title right to the end. That's reasonable. Health withstanding, health willing.
That's
They
big.
they might have the best pitching staff in the division. I think they do,
They have the
frankly.
best, they definitely have the best rotation in the
Yeah.
division. I honestly truly believe that.
And they had one of the best bullpens last year too, and they fortified it with
Right.
Shelby Miller and Andrew Chafin. So, and I believe Fiedo is going to be a really good addition to that bullpen as well.
It's always hard for me to say that a team has the best bullpen. I always shy away from it because it's so finicky from year to year.
Sure, I get
They
it.
definitely have the pieces, but for sure. But the rotation, I went through them all yesterday working on American League Central preview for the Detroit News, DetroitNews.com. And health, if they stay healthy, and that's always a big thing, but I mean, I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And if you could go, if you wanted to take that same exercise and go 8-9 deep in
Right.
each organization, and I think they win that discussion too. You know, when you're talking about Manning coming, you know, not making a team,
Right.
come on now. I mean, that's that dude, that guy pitched 6 innings of a combined no-hitter last year.
Right.
I mean, he's legit, but he's gonna have to start the season in AAA, and Sawyer Gibson Long hasn't even pitched yet. And he was pretty good for them in September, although September is kind of a, you know, you don't want to put too much stock in September performance.
Sure.
They got guys coming in Flores, Wilmer Flores, and the lefty Brant Herder. You're going to see these guys, man, and they're good pitchers.
I want to start at the top just with Tarek Skubal. Obviously shown that he can be an ace. He's talked about maybe not really caring much about the labels of
Yeah.
the ace or the number
Yeah,
one.
tell him that to his face that he's an ace. How
Right,
dare
yeah.
you?
I'm right. Well, we love, us in the media, we love labels, right? And we look at that, but I mean, he's on the fringes of, you look at these sports books, he's on the fringes of Cy Young expectations, I guess. He's
Yeah,
down,
no, I
he's
think they're
on the list,
there.
but he's on the list. And that's something we haven't seen from a Tiger pitcher in a while. What step can he take this year?
If I had to do a list of preseason Cy Young favorites, he's on it. No doubt about it. The way he's been able to get healthy, first of all, and the way his fastball has picked up. He's done some mechanical tweaks, some really minor mechanical tweaks that have had big dividends in terms of the velocity and the ride on his fastball. And the secondary pitches have always been good. You know, so he's taken that to another level, and he's a beast. I mean, he competes. He's angry on the mound, he's intimidating on the mound. His mound presence is fierce. And I think he's got the intangibles and the tangibles that you need to, he checks every box to be a Cy Young contender. Health is that's the only thing you worry about, man. He made 15 starts last year. How
Right.
long can he go? How much do they have to govern him down the road? Those questions have to play out, but just from the face of it, Cy Young candidate for sure.
If you talk to Tiger fans, they weren't overly necessarily blown away by the offseason, but the Tigers did sign two starting pitchers, veterans in Kenta Maeda and Jack Flaherty. For Tiger fans that haven't really paid too close of attention to spring training, given everything that's gone on in the Detroit sports landscape over the last couple months, what can you tell us about what you've seen from them? Obviously, rave reports out of Flaherty.
Well, first of all, it breaks my heart that people aren't paying attention to the drama that's been in Lakeland, Florida. I mean, it's been just rife.
This
How can
Detroit
you look
sportsman,
away?
there's a lot of competition for eyeballs right now.
I don't know. I wasn't aware. But anyway,
Right.
jokingly,
You're in your beach bubble down there in your
beach.
cabana.
I never saw sand. But anyway, Flaherty came here a project. You know, he was a Cy Young finalist in 2019 with the Cardinals, and he kind of fell out. I mean, his fastball wasn't the same. He gets traded. He struggled with Baltimore, didn't make their postseason team. He's come here. He's worked with Robin Lund on his mechanics, his body mechanics and his pitching mechanics. And the fastball is back. It's playing better. It's riding better. The velocity's ticked up. And with that, his secondary pitches are strong as well. And he's learned about himself. He's learned about his body. And I'm really, people should be excited about him because it looks like, I mean, he's vintage 2019 from what we could see in spring. And obviously that's a tainted sample size spring training. He's not facing major league lineups with scouting reports, but the stuff is back. The stuff that made him who he was is there now. And that's exciting. I think Kenta Maeda is a bit of a question mark still because we just haven't seen enough of him. I mean, when he's locating his pitches, man, he's a master. He's X-ing off quadrants of the plate with all kinds of stuff that move left, right, down. His fastball hadn't got up, I mean, to 90, maybe 90, 91 at the most. I don't know how much of a factor that is. I mean, he's pitched without that velocity before and pitched well. He certainly knows what he's doing. He's a veteran. He's battle tested for sure, and he's as healthy after Tommy John as he's been. So he's an important piece just because of his stability and his veteran leadership. Even though he doesn't speak the language, he's still involved with the guys a lot more than I expected, quite frankly. So those are two pretty key, like Maeda's 2-year deal. So that's how much they feel about how healthy he can be. So good pickups there. Not headliners, but effective.
Yeah, Kenta doesn't speak the language, but man, he looks like he's having fun. Every time you
He
see him,
is
every
for
time you
sure.
see him, he's got the biggest smile on his face. And those are the top three in the rotation, theoretically, Scooble, Maeda, Flaherty. But I think the most intriguing member of the rotation out of the gate here, given the history, a 1-1 pick is Casey Mize. Seems to be trending in the right direction.
To say the least. I
Yeah.
mean, he came in, he was the mystery. He was the mystery card in the in that competition. But he shows up, he's 20 pounds heavier, stronger, not fat, you know what I mean? Lean, 20 pounds extra muscle. His fastball is 95 to 97, throwing the 97 mile heaters by guys on his last pitch of outings twice. That's not he wasn't able to pitch high fastballs up in the zone before the injury. He was played off his slider sink splitter. He's fastball. He didn't feel comfortable pitching up in the zone. He didn't have that kind of confidence in his fastball. He didn't throw challenge fastballs before the surgeries. Now he is. He's throwing 3-run challenge fastballs and completely convicted on them. And that's changed his profile. Again, he's got the caveat of how long can he go? How the AJ said, surprisingly, that there will be no governor on him to start the season. They're gonna let him go until his body or his performance tells them that they need to pull back. So that's going to be something they'll be watching all year long. But man, he of that competition between Olson, him, and Manning, Casey won it by far. I mean, it wasn't they came down to Olson versus Manning because Mize was that good.
And fans, may get frustrated with, why isn't this player doing this yet? Why isn't this player doing that? Some players, it takes a little longer to figure it out. I mean, not everyone is Justin Verlander, that comes
Right.
into the
Well,
league and just it gets it. It takes, look at JD Martinez, didn't figure things out till he was 27, 28 years old. I mean, it's not just a snap your fingers and everyone goes at the same pace. So
exactly.
promising signs from Casey Mize. No doubt. So they can contend in the center. I think we both agree with that. A lot, part of that is because they're a better team than they were last year. I think that they definitely made improvements. Part of it is Central's what not good. I mean, it's just not. I mean, that's the reality. So, take advantage of that. We love the rotation, no question. We like the bullpen. A lot of things to like about this team. What are the major concerns?
Yeah, it's going to go back to the offense that they're relying on some young guys, man. I mean, Parker Meadows at the top of the order, and maybe at ninth against some lefties, but pretty much at the top of the order. He's got 37 games of big league experience. Cole Keith, they signed to a multi-year deal before he played a game in the big leagues, and he's a second base. He's a starting second baseman. So that's a lot on them. I think there's enough. They don't have to carry the team, obviously, but they needed to hold their weight. And I think Parker Meadows had a great camp. Parker Meadows is a he's a threat, man. He's a threat in center field, the way he can cover ground, and he's a threat. He's kind of neutralizing some of that left-hander stuff by adding the bunt game to his arsenal. If he can scratch a couple hits, leg hits against lefties, that'll keep him in the lineup. Against a lot of lefties, there's some lefties that he won't play against just because it's a horrible matchup. And why would you do that if you're trying to win the game? But I like him in center field. I think he's growing like right before our eyes, and he's growing quickly. The jury's out on Colt. I think Colt will hit. I think Colt will figure out how to hit. We don't know what his range is going to be. He seems to handle the plays that he's supposed to handle. His pivots at second base are fine. See, no issue there. Him and Javi have worked really well. So that the young hitters, it's why Harris put so much money and emphasis on getting more pitching, because he knows he's got to keep the games close to keep so much pressure. Tigers aren't gonna win a lot of 9-8 games. They're not built for it. So they kind of bolster the pitching, and as the hitting matures and gets better. The other concern obviously is Javi, and we talk about Javi every time we talk, and with good reason. He's the highest paid and most famous player on the team. But his defense is still elite. People don't want to believe that because they remember the throwing errors and they're ghastly, but that's what you remember. You don't remember all the great plays he makes. He's improved his mechanics, his throwing mechanics. He's going to be an elite shortstop, and that's very important for the reason I just said. They're not going to score a lot of runs, so they got to catch the ball behind their pitchers. I don't know. He's not going to get back to where he was as a Cub. He's not going to be that type of impact hitter, but I think he can be marginally better. He better be marginally better than he was last year.
You would
hope. And I think he's working toward that. You know what I mean? And he's going to battle down in the order, and maybe he gets pinch hit for in games.
There are pieces I like about this offense, a lot of the young bats, obviously. But, you know, you wonder, because they were obviously third to last in runs last year, as much progress as they made in the win-loss column, that was a deficiency. They did add Marcana in the trade with the Brewers. But, you know, fans and even our esteemed colleague Wojo, you know, were calling for maybe the Tigers to add one more offensive piece like a J.D. Martinez. And then you see J.D. Martinez signed with the Mets for 1 year, $12 million. Why not, I guess, in that, you know, he could help you this year. If you're on the fringes of contention, why not make a move like that?
How do you know he can help you? He's 35.
He's 35. You know what I mean? The track record's there. I mean, he's got
how do you know that he wanted to come here?
Well, you don't. You don't.
Exactly.
You don't.
So we can want a lot of dudes,
you,
man.
You don't know, but you don't know that he didn't either. I kind of
do know that he didn't.
Well, all right, another bat then. That's, you know, another bat, because there were value.
I was against
out there is what I'm saying.
I didn't care one way or the other, because it wasn't going to make that big a difference. I certainly didn't want him to overpay for any of those guys, Chapman, JD, much as I like him, man. No, I didn't think so. And it would send a mixed message in the room, because, you know, you talk about optionality. They talk about keeping a pathway to the big leagues for the guys that didn't make the team, like Justin Henry, Malloy, Edis Leonard. There's guys that are coming. Chase Young, I should have mentioned first, who's coming quickly. They don't want to block the path. And that's just the way the whether you agree with it or not, that's the plan. The plan is to build a championship team that can sustain a bunch of years, not to win the Central Division this year. So if in any way, shape, or form, adding that blocks those guys even a little bit, then it's a wash. Winning the Central Division, JD Martinez or Chapman is not going to get them beyond winning the Central Division. It's not going to make them a contender to win the American League pennant. You know what I'm saying?
Theoretically, you could say that. And then you could look at, you know, if you get in, you never know. Well, you look at the Diamondbacks last year. I mean, you get in and
they did that with young players.
I understand. I'm just saying the counter argument is get in and who knows. That's
here's the thing. Here's the thing about fan bases and esteemed columnists. They like players whose names they know, and they don't trust any of the names that they don't know. And that's fair. That's fair. That's the nature of the business. But there's guys coming here that if Harris and Hinch thought that JD Martinez was going to take them to beyond the Central Division, they would have made the move. They would have. But it's just, I don't think that that's realistic. That's not a realistic expectation to think that that would happen.
Right. Well, there's always concern about the unknown in everything, life, right? In rosters and whatever.
But these guys they're not unknown to these guys.
They're not unknown, but they're unknown to the fans. So
that's why I said that. Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Right. Like you like the names, you know.
Sure.
And I get it.
Sure. Yeah. And that's just natural. You know, it's been 10 years since they've been in the playoffs. You know, it's fair to question, and it's also fair to trust. You know, it is the second year of Scott Harris, and there are, you know, if you look around and you look at all the baseball, you know, minor league experts, and the Tigers get a lot of props, more than they've had in well over a decade. So clearly around the game, there's a lot of belief in this group. I just want to ask you about one more player before we get on to the closing this out and let you pack up for Chicago. Don't know if we'll see him this year, but a lot of buzz about Jackson Jobe. I'm just curious. He had the one inning, which went viral on social media with him topping 100 miles an hour. I'm just curious, when might we see him?
It's that's situational. He's going to start in Double A. Talent wise, he could be here today.
Yes.
You know, he could. He's that good. But yeah, it's just, you risk it. You risk him coming up here and having bad things happen. You risk like it not being ready, and then you've got to reverse the process and start from further back than you are now. And also, the guys that are here are they're more seasoned, they're better than him right now. You don't want to bring him in a bullpen role. You don't want to do anything stupid like that. Let him have his double A time, let him get to triple A, and then when we're hitting July, August, and there's been some attrition in the starting line, in the starting rotation, which there will be, you know that. We all know there's gonna be, they're gonna go through 9, 10, 11 starting pitchers. They do every year. When we get into to the back end of the summer, he could be an option. I really believe that he could be an option. I don't think he is for the first half of the year, but if he progresses and the attrition happens, he definitely would be somebody they would look at, especially if they're in contention. That is a
Right.
guy you bring in, in August if you're in contention and you know he can make 7, 8 start good starts for you down the stretch. That shoot, that's as good as the, that's a really good boost right there.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was wondering if this year is a possibility.
Could be.
Yeah. All right. Your favorite part of the podcast and your favorite part of being a sports writer is predictions. I've got the Tigers in second place, but not 9 games back of the Twins. I think it'll be closer. I think this is a three-team race in the Twins, Tigers, and Guardians. I think the Royals made some nice moves. I don't think they're quite there yet. They had a long way to go. And I think the White Sox, God bless Grosse Pointe alum and new general manager Chris Getz, but I think they're an absolute disaster right now. So I'm going to say with the Tigers second place, I'm going to say 87 wins. I'm going to put them above 500 for the first time in a while and maybe contending for a wild card, but I think just missing out on the playoffs this year.
Yeah, there's no chance they're going to be competing for a wild card unless some teams that are expected to be good aren't, and that could happen too. That happens every year. Teams we think right now are going to be great, they fizzle. So anything's possible. I'm just going to say 500.
All right.
I don't know. I can't judge these things. I can't predict who's going to get
None of
hurt.
us know, Chris.
Well, I didn't. What's the point?
Because
What's the point of the exercise?
fans love it. They love
Let
when
the
you're
fans
wrong.
predict. Let's run a section on the podcast where fans make their predictions. It'll be
They
awesome.
love when we're wrong. That's the
Well,
reality.
I'm wrong. I'll already tell you right now, my prediction is wrong. It has been my whole life.
Right, Chris has him at 500. I got him with 87 wins and I think it could be, I mean, who knows? If everything goes right like it did in 2006 with all these young guys, and it could even be better than that. But I honestly think it's a three-team race for the Central, depending on how things shake out, and they do have the best rotation. We will see. It's time for baseball, so we'll let you get to Chicago. You can check out all of Chris's work at DetroitNews.com. Adam Graham and I are going to pick out our favorite baseball movies next week in a podcast, and then Chris and I will also be back for a podcast previewing the home opener at Comerica Park. But that'll do it for this edition of the Detroit News Detroit Tigers podcast. Make sure to check out DetroitNews.com. Buy a subscription. It's $1 for 6 months. We'll love you forever if you do. Until then, we'll see you next time.